The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from
heaven. Got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
Welcome to Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. On this Wednesday broadcast, Dr. White wants to give you the spiritual boost to make it through the week with strength. Dr. White is walking through the New Testament book of James in a series he is calling Shoe Leather Theology. James wrote a letter that is practical to the core, dealing with the rough and tumble reality of the Christian life. Before Dr. White begins, let me remind you that if you miss any portion of this broadcast, you can always catch it and all of our archives at randywhiteministries.org. Just look for the Listen Online page. There you will also learn about our special free offer of the month, which I'll mention later in the broadcast. But now, here's Dr. White to introduce today's teaching.
I am so glad you've joined us on this Wednesday morning as we have come into the book of James, and here at Word for the World, we have been considering shoe leather theology. That is a very practical, reality-oriented theology that is given to us page after page, chapter after chapter, verse after verse in the book of James in the New Testament. Well, James is such a powerful passage of Scripture, isn't it? These five chapters that just over and over again tell us how to deal with the reality of life. We'll be spending several weeks here walking through the words that James, the half-brother of our Lord, wrote as he began that wonderful epistle, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who are dispersed abroad. And then he gives them just that shoe leather theology, that practical doctrine that is so powerful for us. And the verses we've been looking at are in chapter 1, those memorable verses where James says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." These passages and these verses that we've been looking at here that I've just read to you speak to us about what do you do when trials come. And we have been spending, since Monday, time on these verses, learning what to do when trials come, taking responsibility for our trials, and knowing that the perfect result of our trials is out there. And now, today, we come in and we want to pick up where we left off. Now, let me remind you that the Scripture has given us the instruction that when trials come, we have a responsibility. That's right, responsibility. Think about that. We have the ability to respond. And our response should be responsible. And the response that we're supposed to make when trials come. Notice that James didn't say, hey, if you ever have a trial, then consider it all joy. He said, consider it all joy when trials come. And boy, they come, don't they? They just come over and over and over again. They come into our lives. Consider it all a joy when the trials come. Here's the responsibility to when they come, to consider it a joy. Consider what a joy. I've told you each of these 3 days, and I don't want you to forget it. The Bible doesn't tell us to consider trials a joy. There is, in fact, it's false to think that when death comes into our world, that we're supposed to rejoice over that. It's false to think that when disease or sickness comes into our world, we're supposed to rejoice over that. Not at all, because death and disease, the scripture clearly tells us, are a result of the curse on this world. They're a result of sin. How in the world can we rejoice at that which is the curse of sin? We can't rejoice at that. And so the Bible doesn't say, consider trials a joy. But it does say, consider it a joy when you encounter various trials. It is the encountering experience that is to be considered joy. And James has told us why in here as he begins to lay it out. He says, this encounter experience is going to produce something in you. That is, it's going to produce faith in you. You just think about it in your own life and experience. I know that there are some trials that you have been through already. You've come out on the other side, and now your faith is strengthened. You can help someone else who's been through the experience. You can handle the experience better and more godly the next time it comes your way. There is a faith within you that was not there prior to the time of your trial. We see this, I think, in Job, as righteous of a man as he was at the beginning of the book. He understood so much more by the end of that book of Job in the Old Testament, and he understood so much more about God. And many times it is the trials of life that bring that about. There's that responsibility. And then there are the resources that are given to us. If any of you, when you're encountering various trials, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Isn't that a powerful passage of scripture? Lack wisdom. How in the world do I go through this trial, through this problem? What am I going to do? The scripture gives you a resource, and that is the wisdom of God. Now that takes us through the first 5 verses of James chapter 1. Now we come into verses 6 and 7 and see the requirement that comes with asking for wisdom.
Then we come to verse 6. There's a requirement that's given in verses 6 and 7 on how we receive this resource. The requirement is this in verse 6, but he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So the requirement is to ask in faith without doubt. The doubter is that one who's tossed about. Now, sometimes I think we struggle with this verse as well, because we come and say, boy, I'm supposed to believe. When I pray, I'm supposed to believe. And if I don't believe strong enough, then he's not going to come through. But this is in a specific instance again. We have been told that when we're in a trial and we desire to go through that testing in such a way that the endurance of that testing will bring about its perfect result. And when we're in that kind of situation and we ask wisdom from God to help us see it all the way through to the end, that God, it's been guaranteed for us, he will give us wisdom generously and without reproach. Now, if we doubt then in that situation, what are we doing? We're denying the word of God, aren't we? Because the word of God has clearly said, if that's who you are, that's where you are, then he is going to give you the wisdom to handle it. And so we have to come trusting in the word of God. Now, that doesn't mean if you need a new car, pray for God to give you a new car. And if you do it without doubting, he's going to give you that new car. If you have some doubt in your mind, he's not going to give you that car. Listen, I don't know if he's going to give you that car with the greatest degree of confidence or with no confidence at all. Because there's nothing in the word of God that tells me whether he will. But when you come in this situation and you ask for wisdom, you must come with this requirement that you have faith in the promise that has just been given to us in verse 5. So we have faith in that promise, not doubting. That's the requirement because, as he says, the doubter won't receive anything. Verse 7, that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord. Why not? Because, Scripture says in verse 8, he is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, what is he trying to receive here? He's trying to receive wisdom. And what good does wisdom do to a double-minded man? He wants it right now, but soon he's going to give it away. And double-minded, the word is daisuke here, suke or psyche, the mind, dai, to dissect something, to cut it in half. There's two of them. Someone once said I was two-faced. I said, no, if I was, I wouldn't be wearing this one. Daisuke, you got a double mind. God says you need to come with a singular focus. I have this trial. I want to carry it out through with endurance until it brings about its perfect result so that I would be complete and lacking in nothing. God, give me wisdom for this, and I trust in your word. You've said if I'll ask for wisdom that you'll give it to me, and I'll take that wisdom then and I'll use it with a single-minded focus, not being unstable. And so here's the requirement to come in faith and without doubt. And then there's a result that comes about. Verses 9, 10, 11. It says, but the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position. Now, sometimes we almost think he's shifted gears. He's talking about something different here. But he's not. He's saying, what I'm about to give you in 9, 10, and 11 is a picture of what will happen if you'll do verses 3 through 7. And if you are that brother in humble circumstances, that is, you're the guy under trial. And now if you have done this, if you've considered it joy because of the endurance, which brings about the perfect result, and you've asked wisdom from God to enable you to endure all the way through to the end, then you, the brother in humble circumstances, is able to glory in his high position. That word glory, it literally means to boast. Boast in his high position. So let me share with you Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24. Here, the word comes, says, thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. That's interesting. Because in James, he says, ask of wisdom and God will give it to you. And then the guy in these humble circumstances will be able to boast. But he doesn't boast in his wisdom. Why not? Honestly, I'll tell you why. God gives wisdom generously and without insult to anybody who's in that kind of situation. Anybody would have got it. There's nothing to boast about there. God gives it out freely in that circumstance, and so there's nothing to boast about. Sometimes we get a little wisdom, however, and we put that wisdom on, and we begin to like the way we look in it. And we begin to boast in the wisdom. You know how to tell whether you're boasting in wisdom or someone's boasting in their own wisdom? Here's the quickest way to get there. If you're offended that someone else did not seek it from you, that is your wisdom. Why? I've got so much experience in this matter. If he'd only come to me, you begin to boast in your wisdom. He says, don't boast in your wisdom. God gives that out generously, freely. He wants all to be wise. Don't boast in your wisdom. Goes on in Jeremiah to say, let not a mighty man boast in his might, let not a rich man boast in his riches, but let him who boasts, there is some boasting to be done, let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That's quite the boast, isn't it? I think that's what David was doing when he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He was boasting in his high position, wasn't he? And so the one who comes through this is able to boast, back into James, in the high position that God has given to him. That is, he boasts in the high position of his humble circumstances. God has seen fit to give me this trial. Now he gives me the wisdom so that I'm going to be able to endure, and I'm going to be able to get the wisdom from God that I never would have been able to get had it not been for this trial. And what about in verse 10, the rich man? I don't think this is a condemnation of rich men that we're about to get into. I don't think it's a bad word about the rich man. I think it's a word that says, hey, some of you who are out there, the trial's not yours yet, but it's coming. And so understanding this truth about trials, what to do with them, the rich man then is to find his glory or his boasting in his humiliation. And the fact that someday a trial is going to come and he's going to have a confidence that he's going to be able to handle it and to manage it. And so he boasts in his humiliation because, like flowering grass, he will pass away. And when the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass and its flower falls off and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed, so too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. The poor rejoice and the rich are humble.
Dr. White will be back in just a moment to continue these thoughts from his series, Shoe Leather Theology. We will send you the entire series of sermons, uninterrupted and unedited for time, for any donation you can give to our ministry. Our current free offer is Dr. White's sermon, Why You Should Be a Zionist. We will send it to you totally free of charge, just for joining our mailing list. Dr. White is a committed supporter of Israel, and he thinks you should be too. This sermon will explain biblical reasons for pro-Israel Christian activity. Contact us today at our toll-free number to request this CD or to make a donation to receive the complete series from the Book of James. The number is 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. That is 1-855-437-9448. You can also get this offer at our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to Dr. White's teaching.
Well, I do hope you will contact us and receive these resources, whether it is the Zionist CD or it's this entire series from James or any of our resources. We're always encouraged when you contact us. Now, before we get back into some closing thoughts from our scripture here, looking at this requirement, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. I want to ask, what kind of trial are you in today? I wish that we could just sit across the coffee table for just a moment and allow me to minister to you, because I am so convinced that God has led someone today to this broadcast because you are at wit's end. And without a doubt, here you are. You're at the point where really it just appears that there is more on you than you can bear. And you know, I think God does that to us sometimes. I know that sometimes we think that God won't put more on us than we can bear, but I think the scripture actually says that there are times when God would press us down so much that we come and we turn to him, and we trust him. And maybe today you're just at that point where you just say, Lord, I have got to have some help. And I wonder if he didn't send this broadcast, today's broadcast, the words you're hearing right now, to buoy you on with hope, to give you some encouragement and some blessing and some praise. Boy, there really are so many trials that you can encounter. And the encounter of the trial was, as we mentioned on Monday when we talked about the way trials come upon us, it wasn't that the trial just eased itself into our life, but rather it was like a thief coming upon us, as that man went down to Jericho and he encountered a thief, left him naked and half dead. And you have encountered that thief in your life somewhere on the road to Jericho. And, man, you're struggling with it now, and you're hurting with it now. And I just so much want to encourage you to capture your mind right now and force it to do that which this scripture instructs it to do. And that is to consider it joy that this trial has come upon you. Now, I wonder, that trial you are undergoing right now, could you speak to God and say, God, I hate this trial, but I consider it joy that the trial has come, because I know that the trial is going to produce faith in me, which will bring about endurance, which will have its perfect result. And in the end, I will be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I will be the man of God or the woman of God you are shaping me to be. And so, God, I'm grateful that you're doing a work in my life. Now, I want you to hate sin. I want you to hate the effects of sin, like death and disease and sickness and all of the violence of this world and the hatred of this world and the fallen nature of man. I want you to hate that. And I want you to groan for the day and long for the day when our Lord Jesus comes and rescues us out of this world in the rapture. And then eventually that day in which Jesus Christ comes and he reigns on this earth and the kingdom of God will arrive, and it'll be that period in which the wolf lies down with the lamb and the mountains drip with sweet honey. Friend, that'll be such a wonderful day. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But that's not the day we live in now, is it? It's a very difficult, very challenging day. Maybe you're experiencing grief. I pray for you. Maybe it is the struggle of a relationship that you just can't seem to make work. I pray for you. Maybe there are challenges in your church, among the leadership of the church or in the pew of the church, and it's just such a burden that you carry today. And I want to pray for you and encourage you to consider it a joy. God's going to do a work. He's going to bring about his will. Maybe in your workplace, you're just attacked over and over again, and it is such a burden for you. Friend, whatever it is, I want you to consider it all joy. I've got just a few words of the sermon to close out today's broadcast, and I pray that they are words which are a rich, rich, rich blessing and encouragement to you as you endure the trial.
Now, as we go through the book of James, what we're going to see is that James is all about the poor rejoicing and the rich being humble. That is the one under trial, not singing doom and gloom and agony on me, but rather rejoicing in the high calling that is his. And the one who's on top of the world right now, not having an arrogance and a conceit, but rather coming down in humility and saying, you know, when the trial comes, I'm going to consider it a joy, because that would be a testing of my faith, which would produce an endurance, and that endurance will bring about an eternal weight of glory. And through it all, I'll be able to boast in knowing God. Paul says, take this thorn away. God says, no. But I'll tell you what I will do. I'll give you the wisdom how to handle it. And Paul says, much rather then would I rather have the thorn. In order to know the surpassing riches of his grace.
Well, we've run out of time for this broadcast of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. But before we go, let me remind you to call today and request Dr. White's free sermon CD, Why You Should Be a Zionist. I'll give the number in just a moment. We would also love to send you the entire series of sermons from this series. You will be strengthened in your everyday faith by being able to listen to the sermons uninterrupted and unedited for time. We can send these to you when you give a donation of any size. Now, there are several ways to contact us to request the free Zionist CD or the Shoeleather Theology Series. The easiest is to just call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. You can also go to our website, www.randywhiteministries.org. Dr. White would love to hear from you by email at randy@randywhiteministries.org. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World with Dr. Randy White.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer lives, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Well, it's midweek here at friendofzion.com, and we have been looking this week at Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7, which gives us, I believe, a prophetic outline of the return and reestablishment of the Jewish people as the chosen people of God and even for their salvation. Now, the outline goes like this in Zechariah 3, verse 7. The first thing is that the people of God, Israel, will begin to walk in my ways and perform my service. I believe that is, they'll once again begin to be faithful to the Mosaic law. The scripture says, then if you do that, you will govern my house and have charge of my courts. This is a word about the temple, my house and my courts. It doesn't refer to the government. It refers to the temple. I believe the next thing that's going to happen in the prophetic calendar as it relates to Israel anyway is the reestablishment of the temple, the rebuilding of the temple. Oh, there may be many things that take place in the world that bring about the ability for that to happen. And I think there are several things in Scripture that we could say, here's how God is going to work that really miracle of allowing the Jews to rebuild the temple. But I think we'll see it perhaps after the rapture, in which we'll see it from heaven, or before the rapture, in which we'll see it here. But we'll see, I know, the reestablishment of the temple. And then there is the finality of this one verse outline of progress, and that is, the Lord says, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here. Well, free access among those who are standing here? Who's those standing here? It was the Lord Most High and the angel of the Lord, that is the Messiah. See this prophetic plan? You'll come back into the land secular. Then you'll become Jewish. Then I'll allow you to rebuild the temple. And then I'm going to grant you free access. That is, then I'm going to give you a circumcision of the heart. That is, then I'm going to give you a new covenant. That is, then all of Israel will be saved. Now, this pattern I've noted in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 7, is shown over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament and the New. If you look at the Word of God as it relates to the renewal of the Jewish people, this is the pattern you've seen. Let's pray for the peace of Israel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this pattern revealed to us in Scripture. And already we see it coming to fruition, but someday the temple will be rebuilt. And over that, the only rejoicing that there can be is that it's a fulfillment of Scripture. But the great rejoicing will come after that, when the Jewish people once again will be granted free access to you and to your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. This is friendofzion.com, and I'm Dr. Randy White.